It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and college basketball is back across the 21st state. In fact, we're about a third of the way into the season. And now that we're beginning to see whether early predictions are holding, we're going to consider how the various teams across Illinois are doing. Joining us now to talk more about this is Colleen Kane, college sports reporter at the Chicago Tribune. Colleen, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Listeners, you can join us at 800-222-9455. What teams are you following this season? And maybe one you want to shout out, let us know, 800-222-9455. All right, Colleen, let's start with our home court here at the University of Illinois, where the 21st Show is produced. How has the men's basketball team look so far?
Yeah, I find the Illinois men's basketball team to be a pretty fascinating team this year, and one that I think has potential to maybe even be better than the team that last year went to the second round of the NCAA tournament. The Illini lost Kasperis Jakaciūnas and Will Riley to the NBA draft. Both were first round draft picks, but they kind of retooled their roster with a lot of different interesting pieces. They still have Kylan Boswell, whose return is their leading scorer so far, is kind of like their leader on the court, is a really stable guy, vocal leader, one of the best defensive players in the Big Ten. And he transferred in from Arizona before last season and was one of their best players last season and is continuing onto that track this season. They also return Tomislav Avicic, who's a 7-foot center, who's very versatile, kind of Brad Underwood. The Illinois coach kind of talks about him as kind of like the heart of what the team does. But beyond those two, they have put together this really interesting mix of players that they call, that's kind of earned the nickname the Balkan Five, because they're five players from with Balkan heritage that are on the team. And Illinois has put a lot of stock into international recruiting, and that's kind of paid off into getting these players on the team. And I'll just kind of quickly run through them.
Because what is the story with that international recruit, right? We have a fairly significant city in Illinois where basketball is quite popular. So is there some sort of strategic advantage to that?
Right. Yes. Well, okay. So Brad Underwood, he's always recruited kind of internationally, and his assistants, Orlando Antigua and Jeff Alexander, have also been doing it for years. And they've had players here and there, from other countries that have come and played. But it kind of started in the last few years. They got Kasperis Jakaciūnas from Lithuania, and then they recruited Tomislav Avicic, who is from Croatia. And Brad Underwood had said that he kind of likes the European style of play. He thinks the players come in with a little bit more maturity. They have experience playing, against professional players. They've kind of been brought up in this basketball culture. And so when they get to come play college basketball, of course, there's some transition, but they also kind of step in with a lot of experience. And so he also thinks the players kind of fit the University of Illinois in general, being that it's an international university. So I think it's a good fit on their end as well. So Tomislav Avicic comes in. He has a twin brother who kind of made the move first. His name is Zvonimir Avicic. He 3 years ago went to play at Kentucky, then followed Coach Calipari to Arkansas. And Tomislav came in last year to Illinois. Brad Underwood was able to get Zvonimir to transfer from Arkansas to Illinois to join his brother. And then they recruited another player, a freshman forward named David Mirkovic, who had played with Tomislav and Zvonimir in the Adriatic League and kind of knew them already and had been in conversation with Tommy, is what they call Tomislav, is his nickname, had been in conversation with him all last year and had been kind of watching him and asking him questions about what it was like to come play college basketball in the United States, what it was like to play at Illinois. And so Tommy was a big influence to get David here. And then Mihailo Petrovic had been watching Kasparis Iakachonis last year and really was interested in how he was doing. Obviously, he saw his kind of rise to be able to go to be a first round NBA draft pick and thought, well, this looks like it could be a place for me. So that was a big draw for him coming here. And then the fifth piece is Andrei Stojakovic, who's the son of former NBA All-Star Peja Stojakovic. And he's been in the United States. He's Greeks of Greek and Serbian heritage, has lived in the United States, went to the high school in the United States, and is transferring from Cal this year, but obviously has Balkan heritage, and so he kind of fits into the Balkan Five as they become known.
It probably will get eye rolls among, more hardcore basketball fans, but like I'm still just kind of blown away at how much rosters are rebuilt year in and year out because there's so much, transferring and moving on that happens now that was not the case, half a generation ago.
Oh yeah, I mean the teams look totally different every year. So when you do get a player like Kylan Boswell or Tommy Avisic coming back or moving up to like in Evanston and Northwestern has Nick Martinelli coming back, who is the Big Ten scoring leader, it's significant because you have that experience and kind of like an anchor for the team to then kind of help build all the rest of the team around them. But yeah, it's even coaches will say even though it happens every year now, I think still coaches still maybe aren't used to just the turnover every year and how every year teams are going to look different.
Yeah, and it's amazing that your senior players are considered not senior in years, but your experienced players are the ones who've been there for one additional season. So I guess that says something about the world we're in.
Exactly.
Let's talk about the Illinois women. How are they looking so far?
Yeah, so the Illinois women, they lost a lot of experience from last year. The women's game is a little bit different in that you can get players, the teams can look the same, not always, but there are teams that can look the same for many years, right? And they had a lot of experience last year. Kendall Bostic, who was the leading rebounder, Genesis Bryant, who was the assist leader, and a bunch of other seniors that graduated. So this team is a very new look team. Shauna Green, coach, has put them in a has kind of helped the program go back to prominence. Made the NCAA tournament last year, but now she's trying to kind of work with this group that's very young. I think they released the Illinois Public Relations Department released the average age of the team at the start of the season, and it was 19.1 years. So it's a very, very young team. But they've started 6-1. They've had a couple of players that were on the team last year that are kind of stepping into bigger leadership roles, Gretchen Dolan, Barry Wallace. Barry Wallace is averaging 19.7 points per game, which is near the top of the Big Ten. And then they have a freshman guard that came in, Destiny Jackson, who's from Whitney Young here in Chicago, and has been playing really well as well. So for them, it's kind of finding the right mix of all these newcomers, of the returners who are kind of stepping into bigger roles, and yeah, just trying to get them to all gel together. But I know Shauna Green said at Big Ten Media Day she was really having fun because with such a young team, they were keeping her on her toes.
All right, let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about college basketball across Illinois with Colleen Kane, college sports reporter at the Chicago Tribune. And maybe we can do sort of a lightning round looking at some of the Illinois teams in the Missouri Valley Conference, some of our downstate top-tier basketball teams. Let's start with Bradley University. How are things looking there this year?
Yeah, so Bradley's been is started the season 4-4. They went to the NIT last season, and they're being led by Jaquan Johnson, who is averaging 18.9 points per game. If we're looking at the other men's MVC teams, Illinois State's really the one to kind of look at here. I think they were picked to win the MVC in the preseason poll, which hadn't happened for a long time. I find them interesting because they were, I mean, they're looking to play big games. They scheduled Illinois, they scheduled Northwestern and preseason exhibition games to help them kind of improve and, to playing against some of the best competition. So it's very interesting. They won the CBI Purple tournament last year and finished 22-14, and they return a lot of experience. Chase Walker, Johnny Kinziger were two of the all Missouri Valley Conference players last year that kind of that are back. And then they have a freshman, Tyreek Coleman, who's from the Chicago area, who's also been playing well. And then other MVC, obviously, Illinois teams are UIC, 4-3 so far, led by Ahmad Henderson, who's averaging 16.6 points per game. And Southern Illinois also has started the season 4-4.
Have all these changes that have happened in college basketball in recent years, like, the ability for people to transfer more freely, NIL, which we haven't really talked about yet. I mean, have these things been, I think they've been, arguably they've raised the level of the game for some of the top tier schools and the ability to be competitive. Has there been sort of a negative effect for some of these, I don't want to say second tier because they're still Division One, but you know what I mean? Some of the smaller programs that maybe are not contenders year after year after year.
For sure. And I, with the House settlement agreement that start that was agreed upon this summer, which allows schools to participate directly in revenue sharing with their athletes, it has obviously placed an imbalance on some of the bigger conference programs compared to some of the smaller schools. They're just going to have more money that they can share with the athletes. They're going to be able to invest more in their in their teams and in their players, and be able to draw some of the players in the transfer portal of nowadays. Some of the smaller programs, when they there's a player that has a good season, then he's immediately getting calls and interest from the bigger programs to transfer there. And some of the smaller programs even use that. I know football and basketball use that as kind of like a draw to try to get some of maybe some of the overlooked high school players that that maybe the bigger programs just, didn't see, were didn't think we're ready to join their programs. They say, hey, you come here to our school, to our team, we'll help you become a star, and then you can transfer on to another school. And so that's kind of the approach some of the smaller programs are taking, but it's for sure created a pretty big imbalance in both the football and basketball worlds.
So we have just a couple of minutes left. So I'm going to say reporter's choice. We can talk about Loyola, Northwestern women, DePaul, women or men, Notre Dame women. What do you think is most worth talking about in the short time we have remaining?
Yeah, well, okay, so the two I kind of briefly talked about Northwestern, which men, which they have Nick Martinelli, who I said was the Big Ten scoring leader last year. They have another player who transferred in from Cincinnati, Arrington Page. And he's really provided a nice complement to Martinelli. And so I think they're a team worth watching. Notre Dame women, obviously not Illinois based, but they have one of the best players in the country in Hannah Hidalgo. They kind of had to retool because they had a lot of players graduate. They had some transfer. They had a guard in Olivia Miles who kind of shocked the women's basketball world by transferring after last season. But Hannah has just been kind of leading the Notre Dame women and the retooled group there. There was a game earlier last, or kind of at the beginning of the season last month, where she had 16 steals in a single game, broke the NCAA record. So if you're not paying attention to Notre Dame women, if you haven't paid attention yet, I would go and see one of the best players in the country there.
All right, excellent recommendation, Colleen Kane. You can find her coverage of college sports in the Chicago Tribune. Thanks so much for sharing your reporting with us on the 21st show.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's all the time for our program today. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to be returning to the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum for a special Giving Tuesday episode of the 21st show. But more to the point, tomorrow we are taping an interview. It's going to air on Wednesday, Statehood Day in Illinois. We're taping an interview with Governor J.B. Pritzker. And we want to pose your questions and comments to him. So get in touch. Talk at 21stshow.org is the best way to do that. That's our email address, talk at 21stshow.org. We're also going to be putting a message out to our texting group. So if you want to get in on that, don't wait. Go now to 21stshow.org and sign up for the texting group. And you too can be a part of shaping our conversations, including the interview we're taping tomorrow with Governor J.B. Pritzker. You can tune in on Wednesday to hear how that turns out. That's it for us. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.